name and kingdom and will of God, that his name be honored, his kingdom established, his will performed. When you have thus made God's service your first interest, you may ask with confidence that your own needs may be supplied. If you have renounced self and given yourself to Christ, you are a member of the family of God, and everything in the Father's house is for you. You may ask for the things you need and trust him to supply your needs according to his will. Not only are we to ask for physical bread, but we're also to ask for, what kind of bread, everybody? Spiritual bread as well, food that feeds the soul. Not only are we to ask for ourselves, but we ask to give to others physical and spiritual food. In our asking to give, we should ask for the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to give spiritual bread. All right, so now, the second, I got to get my sheet here now. All right, the second P is petition. Now, after we've asked God, after we took taken care of God's needs, now we're dealing with the petition, the second P. And the phrase that's in the second P is, what, everybody? Give us this day. All righty. So now, we're beginning to ask God for certain things. Now, it's important to understand that when you ask God for certain things, you need to determine if your request is a need or a want. You see the difference, do you not? There is nothing wrong with asking for wants, but God's answer has to be according to his will. It's important to understand that. Now, I must confess. Let me give you an illustration of a need, want. I need transportation. But in my search for transportation, I saw this beautiful car. It was a Mercedes-Benz S550. I first saw it at the doctor's office. I had to go to the doctor's, and I saw this beautiful black polished S550. And I said to myself, all the time, I need a big. No, my conference covered 5 states. And I said, I'm on the road all the time, and I need a comfortable car that would just man. And I had to say, I lusted after that car. I had to ask God to forgive me for lusting. So now I go into the Mercedes dealer and had to turn around. Had to turn around. Now, was that a need or a want? All right, you got the picture. So now,
got your priorities out of whack.
He said, I got my priorities out of whack. Having transportation was a need, but the Mercedes-Benz was a want. So a lot of times when we pray, we have to pray according to but let me tell you something. We need to claim promises. And one of the promises that I look at is Philippians 4:19. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for wants. You know, the Bible says, I had one lady tell me, you know, we quote that scripture, your bread and water shall be sure. And then I had a lady say, sometimes he put a little jelly on the bread. I said, that's all right. I like that. So I guess I was looking for some jelly. But it didn't happen. But when you begin to start asking for what you need, you got to make sure you distinguish between your needs and your wants. Number two, not only should we ask for ourselves, but we should be asking to give to others. And I'm going to talk more about that. In fact, we need to ask for others before we ask for ourselves. Well, I'm going to repeat it again. When is the last time that you prayed and asked God to give you something so that you can give to somebody else? A lot of times when we pray selfishness. Three, ask for spiritual bread so you can give spiritual bread. You remember yesterday, I told you that part of our responsibility is to witness. But you got to have something to give, to witness to, for, with. And so ask God to give you spiritual bread. Not only that, as you improve your prayer life, your scripture illumination becomes brighter. I'm telling you what I'm experienced. The word of God and seeing things that you never saw before. The Holy Spirit now begins to give you insight of things that you, and that's why when I told you right, potato, oatmeal, and so now, in and you know what? You just through, okay, well, Pastor Ruggles, got to read the tell you something. Ellen said, it's well for you to take one verse and meditate verse until you get the full impact that verse means. Lot of chapters with God. Everything in life. Matthew 6:3. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is right. Did I go to bed early so I can rise time so I take my time with God? And so time with me. We've gone through that this is not minutes. It's going to take time. It's going to take time for prayer. It's also going to take time for study. My time and begin to understand the scriptures, and the Holy Ghost begins to give me more insight, and I begin to write these things down. Dessert in my Bible study is the spirit of prophecy. I hope that you all still believe in the writings of Ellen White. She does not take the place of the Bible. In fact, she calls herself the lesser light. But I'm telling you, this woman has been sent of God. After I Bible study and I read my Sabbath school lesson, then I go through the prophecy. So good until when you take spiritual food, yes, it is a simple my God. Study passage that I'm just jump out. Yeah, I just recurgitate on it. I begin to think. And then it begins to build your spiritual faith. And so now, as you're praying, one of the things you're going to pray for, you're going to ask for spiritual bread so that you can give spiritual bread. You know, I told you on yesterday, we're supposed to witness. But how can you give something that you don't have? Amen. Do you remember? We're going to read this on tomorrow. Because those of you who've come in today, we're dealing with Luke 11. And later on down in the parable, it talks about this man who has a friend who comes to his house for food and he doesn't have any. So he goes to his other friend to ask for bread because he has no bread to give. We have no bread to give except what we go and ask God to give us. So unless we ask God to give us bread, we can't give bread to somebody else. Does that make sense? All right. We're asking for spiritual bread. We're asking for spiritual bread so we can give for others. And then this is really important. This is really important. Interceding for others. This is really key. This is a part of individuals that I'm praying for. I told you some of my story on yesterday. I left the church, but the only reason I came back into the church was somebody interceded for me. We need people that we meet, that we're with, that are related to us, that we need to intercede. Now, let me just give you a quick pointer about intercessory prayer. Some of us got prayer lists 50 miles long. and you try to pray for everybody on that list in one day, you can't do it. It will just frustrate you. What I would like to suggest is you take a portion of that prayer list, pray for maybe five or six names on today, and then another five or six names on the next day, and do it. And as a result, you won't become overwhelmed. But part of our praying, part of our responsibility is that we need to intercede for others. Do you not know that Jesus is interceding for you? We need to be, we are ministers of reconciliation, so we need to be interceding for others. And so we need to be praying for others, praying for others. By the way, I'm going to add this caveat too as well. Sometimes when we pray for others, we need to add fasting to it. I'm going to tell you a true story. I think I told you part of my story on yesterday. I had left the church and was determined to never come back. I didn't want to see anybody from the church, was determined to never come back. The devil had me so bad, the devil really had a grip on me, that I knew that I was destined for hell. I had a sister. Everybody was praying for me, but I had a sister who loved her brother so much that she fasted a whole week. A whole week. For this hard-headed person, hardened, relished spiritual things, didn't love Jesus. All week for this hard-hearted person. Next thing I know, I'm coming to church. I'm coming to church. Now, I'm not saying that you have to fast a whole week. But what I am saying is that if there's somebody that you're really having a difficult time trying to get back to the Lord, you may want to add fasting to your request for God to do something for them. So now, this takes time. That's why you can't rush it. This takes time. Interceding for others takes time. And then if possible, claim a Bible promise commensurate with the request. For an example, whatever you pray for, add to for, never will forget when I was matriculating, was a student, had very little money. My wife was the breadwinner. And poor, we were poor. But the little bit that we had, now watch this. The little bit that we had, we always tithed and we paid an honest offering. We did 10 plus 10 even when I was a student. One day, and this is a true story, one day the cupboard was bare. And what I did, I went to the Bible. I went to Malachi 3. And I pointed my finger, and I put my finger on the promise. And I went to God, and I prayed his word back to him. And I said, Lord, you said that if we are faithful with our tithe and offering, you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. God, you said that, and you are a God that cannot lie. Guess what? My wife and I never went hungry. We never ran out of gas, even though one day my fuel tank gauge was on E minus. I was riding on Holy Ghost fumes. But God never disappointed us. So what am I trying to tell you? When you start asking God for things, put a promise to it. The psalmist says, I've been young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed breaking bed. Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Whatever you need. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need. 1 John 3 says, beloved above all things, I would wish that you would prosper and be in health. You begin to give God those promises. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're asking God for, put a promise to it. Because we serve a God that cannot lie. Do you believe that? Amen. God is true. You got a challenge. for this word. We don't know the word. And so we're not, oh God, I need this, God. But put a promise to it. God, you said. God, you promised. And I got a prayer. You know the promise that God made for the children. God, I take that prayer to them all the time because I got some children, I got some grandchildren who don't know Jesus. You said. You start asking God for stuff. You put a promise to it. And this gives you confidence in our requests because we know a God. And by the way, say, Pastor, this keeps happening, man. I don't understand this. Will you all forgive me for it? All right. Okay. But listen very carefully. This next section, the next C on your sheet. The C stands for what, everybody? Confession. Forgive us our debts as. This is going to be the most difficult part of the prayer. I'm going to show you in a minute why. This is the core of the religious experience. Love is the core characteristic of God and his children. The epitome of that core is the ability to love your enemy. Loving your enemy includes doing what, everybody? From the heart, even if they don't confess their wrongs for us. By the way, you do know that you can mouth forgiveness and not really mean it. That's why in Matthew 18, it says, forgive your enemy from the heart. I could say to you, sister, I forgive you, but still hold stuff inside. That's not forgiveness. Is being, and I dare say there has not been anybody in here who has not had their toes stepped on by somebody. So, I want you to listen very carefully. In that prayer in Matthew 7 and Luke 11, forgive us our debts as, which means if I don't forgive, I'm not forgiven. Lord have mercy. I'm going to say that again. I want that to sink in your head. Forgive us our debts as. Which means if I don't forgive, I am not forgiven. And you can be in the church and lost simply because you're holding a grudge. And you can shake that person's hand and happy Sabbath, but still have stuff in your heart. If we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us, and we are lost. We are forgiven only as. Forgiveness to us comes from God, and that love is supposed to motivate our love. It's supposed to touch our hearts, transform us, which in turn creates love within our hearts, which creates love for our brothers and sisters who have wronged us. If we can't love them, then we have not become sharers of God's grace. We are not like him, therefore we can't be with him. We have hardened our hearts against his grace, and this aspect of the prayer asks for help in surrendering the hardness of the heart. It asks for a heart of flesh, a heart of love, a spirit of forgiveness. In fact, we can't have effectual prayer unless this happens. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, if thou bring it with me, everybody, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Look, let's read this one from Matthew 5. Read it with me. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And do what? Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Finally, after we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us, we may be assured that our sins have been forgiven. In fact, This is a primary factor in having our prayers answered, for the Bible says, if I read it with me, everybody, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord help us. So now, how do you do it? Number one, examine yourself to see if you are at variance with anyone. I made the statement, I've had some people say, well, I love everybody. No, you don't. Harmony with everybody. Yeah, I don't think so. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, because this is pivotal in our religious experience. I want you to listen very carefully. I want to reiterate, we are lost if we hold grudges in our hearts. Therefore, step number one, in your praying, say, Lord, is there anybody that I'm at odds with that I've forgotten? Ask him. I promise you, he will bring it to your mind if you really are sincere about that. Lord, is there anybody that I'm at odds with? Is there anybody that I'm at variance with? Ask him. Ask him when you have the next time you have your devotion. Ask him. I promise you. I had this happen to me. I had this happen. And this is the truth from here to heaven. I had a lady who did me wrong. And so I said, okay, now, Lord, I'm done. I forgive her. I'm not going to hold it against her. She moved out of the city to another city. One camp meeting, this is the truth from here to heaven. One camp meeting, she showed, and just the sight of her rising stuff within me. And I knew right then that I hadn't forgiven her. Even though I had mouthed the words, I forgive you, there was still stuff in me toward her. That's why I'm telling you. You may think that you have forgiven somebody, but ask God. God, show me. Is there still some stuff that's in me that I have towards somebody else? Number two, if you find that you are, ask God to give you a heart of what? A heart of love, a heart like his. And you stay there until he touches your heart and your attitude toward your enemy has changed. You may have to plead for a heart change. This takes what, everybody? But it's worth the time and effort for your transformation and salvation. I'll give you another illustration. Yes, ma'am. Good question. Her question was, talk to her, or was it was my own issue? Times when you have to go and talk and get it straight. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you. Good question. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Now, I'm glad the computer man is here, because now it keeps jamming up on me, man. It keeps jamming up on me. I can't advance it. It won't advance.
Trying to connect to the internet.
Is that what it is?
Yes. So we're going to disable the internet for now.
Please do that. You're going to disable my internet?
Yes, one second. Which is like 37, right?
Yeah. I apologize, everybody, but this is not my fault. You all came too many and made us move over here. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay?
We could just take it back to our church.
Take it back to your church. You think will I get it?
One second.
We're going to see. Oh, that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You going to let me use yours?
Yes.
All right. You know the Holy Spirit sent you here. You know that, don't you? It's not working, is it? What's happening? Oh, man. We've never had this problem before. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry, folks. The devil don't want you to hear this one. Well, you want to try mine again?
Sure.
Let me try mine again.
Okay.
Let's see what happens here. I'm going to try mine again. It did. Mine worked.
Okay.
Mine is better than yours.
Oh,
you know, no. I like to have fun. I like to have fun. All righty. So we understand now. I told you, examine yourself and then Ask God to give you a heart of flesh. Now, number three, pray for your enemy. Ask the Lord to help him or see him or her see her need. Pray for his or her salvation. Now, watch this, everybody. Ask the Lord to make a way for what, everybody? And ask him to show you how you can be kind to them and grace to treat them the same way you treated them before the disruption. Oh, I heard some, yeah. This is the hardest thing to do. Number four, make an appointment to meet with your adversary as soon as possible. If he or she is out of town, reconcile over the telephone. Reconcile even if they're at fault. You know what some of us do? It wasn't my fault, it's her fault. So they need to come to me. And we wait for them to come to us, and it never happens. And there's still that gulf between you and them. If they are at fault, if they don't come to you, what should you do? And let me ask you a question. What stands in the way of you going to them? Shows you where you are, doesn't it? You that you won't humble yourself to them to get stuff straight. Go to them. I've had to humble myself on a variety of situations. Man, everything is messing up. I am serious. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. The devil don't want you to hear this. Mr. Soundman, I apologize for saying mine is better than yours. So I don't know what's going on, man. You're going to have to switch to the what?
There must be something wrong with that.
Why did you give me a bad one? I don't know. I apologize again. I don't know what's happening. Man. I don't know what's going on here. So I take... Will this still record? Is it on? Testing, I guess. Oh, man, this is bad. I'm sorry. All right. Make an appointment. I told you about that. As soon as possible. If he or she out of town, reconcile. Okay, we've done that. After you have done steps 1 through 4, then confess your sins specifically, including your attitude toward your enemy. Take time to examine the inward and secret sins, motives, attitudes, and thoughts. Ask for forgiveness and power to overcome and sin no more. This will also take time, for there are some sins that require pleading and agonizing in order to overcome. You must stay there until you get the victory and you feel God's presence in that request. Jacob had to wrestle with God and didn't let go until he was blessed. This is a true story. One of the churches that I pastored, I had a church member. In fact, she was a deaconess. I don't know how she became a deaconess with all that stuff going on, but she was a deaconess. And at every board meeting, now I know you all don't do this. You all are nice people. But at every board meeting, she would fight me. Every board meeting, fight me. And I have to be honest with you. I'm even though I'm a pastor, I'm a human being. And I got feet of clay just like everybody else. And I need to be honest with you. I was having resentment toward her. I really was. I knew, first of all, that it was wrong. It was wrong for me. Now, I'm not saying that she was wrong. She was wrong, but I'm not saying she was wrong for making me feel this way. I was wrong for feeling that way. And I felt that So anyway, long story short, in my devotion, I'm on my knees and I'm praying. I said, Lord, I'm not having right feelings toward this person. You have to take this thing from me. And guess what? It didn't happen. I go back on my knees. I said, Lord, you have to take this thing from me. Guess what? It didn't happen. I'm still feeling this resentment. I had to stay there. I had to plead. God, this is unlike you. I don't want to be like this. Take it from me. Later on, there was a peace that came into my heart. I think this happened on a Wednesday or a Thursday. That Sabbath, I went back to the church. After I preach, you know how the pastors come and everybody greets the pastor. This deaconess, who's fighting me all the time, who I had built up resentment toward, she comes through the line, and this is the truth from here to heaven. When she comes through the line, I hug her. I couldn't believe what I was doing. God had lifted that thing. God had lifted that thing. And what I want to tell you, friends, I'm telling you, you can be in the church, be a faithful tithe payer, Sabbath keeper, eat gluten steaks, all that stuff. And be lost simply because you're holding stuff inside toward other people. You know what? I told my wife, I don't want anybody to be the cause of me losing heaven. The person that you have enmity toward will beat you there. They don't even know what's going on. And here you are holding this grudge, smiling and happy Sabbath, and all that stuff is still in your heart. You can be lost in the church having those kinds of feelings. I don't want to be lost. I've gone through too much hell down here to go to hell. Behind somebody else who might beat me to the kingdom. I don't want that. I'm not going to let you cause me to go to hell. You can talk about me as much as you please. I'm going to talk about you down on my knees. Amen. I'm going to love you even though you don't love me, brother. I'm going to love you. You can spit in my face. I'm going to love you. Oh, by the way, when we get so high and mighty and think that people have done stuff that's unforgivable, I take it to Calvary. They spit in his face, slapped him, called him out of his name, did all that stuff, whipped him twice, 39 times each time, bits of rawhide and steel. And as they were nailing him, in pain and in agony, he still says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
Pastor Rick, anytime I feel that somebody has done something toward me that's unforgivable, the Holy Spirit takes me to Calvary.
Amen.
There is no excuse for forgiveness, for unforgiveness. None.
Amen.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sound man, you were right. It worked. What does this do for us? Number one, it transforms us. It changes our heart from stony to flesh. God touches us and we become like him. Number two, surrender. We have to surrender attitudes and grudges. This is the biggest struggle. Number three, humility. You have to forget all about self and what others have done to you. It puts pride in the dust and enables you to go to them if they don't come to you. Number four, you become a conduit. You become a channel of God's love that touches others and brings salvation within their reach. Number five, it cleanses you and puts you in right relationship with God. As we confess our sins, we are forgiven and cleansed. Forgive us our debts as. And one of the biggest things that's going to keep Seventh-day Adventists out of heaven is this. You can be doing all the right things and miss this. So I'm pleading with you, when you go back to your rooms and have your private time with God, I'm asking you to ask God, God, is there anybody that I'm at variance with? Is there anybody that I'm at odds with? And even if you are right, go to them, humble your pride in the dust. Christ humbled himself. He who is God became a servant. If you read the Greek in Philippians, it said he became a slave. He humbled himself. So who are you not to humble yourself? I'm going to wait till they come to me. What if they don't come to you? There's sometimes people say things or do things, they don't even know what they've done to you. They've offended me. Well, they offended Jesus. Go get it straight. Yes. Say, ask that question. That's a very good question. Raise that question again.
Sometimes we don't know when we have offended others. Should we be praying that the Lord would tell us that if others are upset at us, that we should make things right?
You should. You should. Very good point, sister. You're right on it. You're right on it. Father, have I offended somebody? I hadn't planned to say this, but I will. The night before last, I'm in my hotel room, and I'm trying to prepare for the next day. Either I was trying to prepare for the next day, or I was trying to send a text to the president of this conference or something. And my wife, she likes basketball. She likes sports. Her favorite player is LeBron James. I don't like LeBron James, but she likes LeBron James. And so I'm sitting there doing my work, and she's going to ask me a question about what's going on TV. And I kind of answered her kind of short, because, you know, when you get busy, you don't want to be bothered, right? I answered her kind of short. I gave her an answer, but it wasn't pleasing to her. And then my wife made this statement. She says, "I guess I'll just ask Jordan. He's a friend of ours. I guess I'll just ask Jordan." And then right then and there, something told me that I didn't answer her right. Now, she didn't say a word. She didn't say she was offended. But the Holy Spirit says, listen. Listen to her answer. And so, later on that evening, I humbled myself. You know what? Pride gets in the way.
Amen.
And I was trying to rationalize my response. I was trying to say, "Now, Lord, you know I was busy, and I didn't have time to answer her question. Lord, she shouldn't even bothered me. She should see that I was busy." Well, then, Lord, she'll get over it. All kinds of things to. And you know what that was telling me? You got too much pride. I'm serious. I'm a preacher. You got too much pride. My wife is sitting right back there. And so, Pastor, I ate my pride. I said, "Honey, I'm sorry that I responded that way. I'm sorry that I responded that way. Will you forgive me?" "Yeah, I'll forgive you." But getting back to my sister's point here, and this is very important. Sometimes we offend others and not aware of it. But if you are in close connection with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will let you know. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. After I gave my answer, I could have been satisfied, but the Holy Spirit said, listen to what she said. Sometimes you can tell the way people respond to you. You had a question.
I don't have a question. I was having a hard time forgiving somebody for something that was horrible, and he had said that I should go to 1 Corinthians 13. We all know that very well. And where the word love is, you put your name there, and then you recite that scripture. So love is kind. So it would be Donna is kind. Donna is not envious, and I am forgiving. So you put your name, and it becomes you being those characteristics of God. So. I'm trying to teach you something. Wait a minute. How about this one? boom.
Pastor, hey, Pastor Rick, I got to humble myself and sit at her feet. Let me, the teacher can be taught. But I'm glad you raised that. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Please listen very carefully. The servant of the Lord says that we are supposed to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. Now, she says that. I have a little booklet, and the president of Oakwood University compiled different versions of 1 Corinthians 13 so it doesn't become boring to you ever. So I got that little booklet. You can order from Oakwood University. But now watch this. This is very important. Please listen. We have to understand that we don't possess love. No. We don't have it. No. You may think you have it. Now, and we have to make the difference between unconditional love and conditional love. Are y'all with me? You do know the difference. I love you, man, when you treat me good. I don't love you anymore because you treat me bad. That's conditional love. Unconditional love says, sister, I don't care if you slap my face. I'm gonna love you anyhow. That unconditional love is divine. And we don't have it. We don't have it. Once you get to the point where you realize, first of all, you got to realize you don't own it, you don't have it. And so what you have to do on a daily basis is ask God, God, give me your love. Are you with me? Are you with me? Lord, give me your love. Give me, by the way, you do know that there are three variations of that word love. You do understand. There's what is called agape love. That's divine love. There's the phileo love. That's brotherly love. That's why the friendly love. That's where Philadelphia comes from. And then we got what is eros. That's the fleshly love. Okay? What we lack is the agape love. Amen. The unconditional love. And I'm telling you, I've been in ministry almost 40 years. And I still lack love. Amen. I am growing in love. I'm not where I used to be, but I still have lack. And so on a daily basis, as I read 1 Corinthians 13, I'm asking, and by the way, when I go to that place of consecration, you know, that C, that first C, and incidentally, this second C of consecration, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, I put that C also with the first C. So all of that is in part of my consecration part. Not only am I surrendering myself, not only am I asking for forgiveness of sin, but I'm also asking God to help me with my enemies. And all that's part of the first C. And so now, as I'm trying to have more of God, I'm asking him on a daily basis, God, give me more of your love. I don't possess it. Give me, Lord. Oh, by the way. Oh, I got to tell you this. Ooh, this is good. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit. Oh, you got to get that book. So if you come on Friday, we're going to give you a special gift about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you not know? This is beautiful. It is the Holy Spirit, as you ask for the Holy Spirit, who brings love in you.
Amen.
Us? Yes, Pastor, you want to say something? Hold the mic up. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not used to this. I like the lapel thing where I can just walk around and dance. You see what I'm saying? But I can't do that. I can't do that. Okay, so, the Holy Spirit. So day by day, I'm asking God for more of his love. Amen. Where I get to the point that, brother, irrespective of what you do to me, there is nothing that you can do to me that changes my love for you. Are y'all with me on this? And this is the pivotal point. This is the pivotal point in our Christian experience, because God is love. And if we're God's children, if we're restored and back to this image, we too must be love. Makes sense? Huh? You got to ask for it. And it comes through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the The less we have of self, the more God's Spirit can fill us. And he can fill us with his love. Yes, you had an observation you'd like to make. Yes, sir.
Because of some things that happened to me actually quite a long time ago, at the end of the day, after experiencing this stuff, which is a long story, I won't go into that, when I got home, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, would you please show me how it is that you love this person that I couldn't even stand to be in their presence today? And for the first time I'd ever asked that, he immediately filled me with a sense of compassion and love for this man. And the next time I saw him, the things that offended me, they didn't even register. And I have found that that prayer is one that I've been using for over 25 years. And like I pull into a parking lot and somebody pulls in and I was going to go in that slot, I had my turn signal on and they just zipped right in there. I find myself saying, Lord, please help me to understand how it is you love them, because I'm really irritated. But he has never failed to answer that prayer even once. Wow.
Very good, very good. Did you hear that? God will give you the love. We don't possess the love. God will give it to you. And when you understand that we don't have it, but God has it, and all you got to do is ask him for it, and what it means is a surrender. It means to surrender. It means to surrender the will. He'll give it to you. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. Okay, let me make sure my clicker is working. Okay, now. Okay, two more things. We're on the last P now. Protection and praise. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to understand something here. Number one, Satan wants to destroy us. And number two, we have a sinful nature which inclines itself to sin, which causes personal destruction and disgrace to God. Now, before I go any further, I want you to look at me. Look at me. Look at me. All of us, from the pulpit to the door, all of us are weak. I'm a preacher. And I confess before you, I'm weak. The Bible says, any man think he stand, take heed, lest he fall. And if you haven't realized it yet, you're weak. Not only are you weak, but you're sinful. I'm sinful. Praise God for Jesus Christ, who came and died for our sins. And is in the process of sanctifying us so that we become restored into his image, but we're sinful. Other thing you need to understand, the devil is more powerful than you. We are no match for the devil. Please understand that. And understand something else. You can sin in small things. Doesn't have to be big things. Jesus was our perfect sacrifice. Do you know why he was our perfect sacrifice? Because he committed no sin. And he didn't use any of his divine power. Jesus didn't even sin in his thinking. Many times we don't do outward sin, but we sin in our thinking. Jesus could not even sin in our thinking and be the sacrifice for you and for me. We're weak. We're sinful. We got to recognize that fact, that the devil is stronger than us and can make us sin like taking candy from a baby. Don't pride yourself because you think that I don't do these big things. Small things are sin. Let me just give you just one example where the majority of us fail. Do you know that overeating is a sin? Overeating is a sin. Or we play it off. Overeating, gluttony. That's why the Bible says put a knife to your throat. small stuff. Oh, that's, no sin. You could have lust in your mind but not go to bed with somebody else. That's sin. You can hate somebody in your heart but not kill them. That's sin. The devil got something for you. So the devil uses temptation to lure our sinful nature into sin. Our weakened condition cannot resist his temptations. Therefore, this portion of the prayer asks for help to resist the devil. We should pray that God will not permit us to be brought where we shall be drawn away by the desires of our own evil hearts. This means that we want God to guide us instead of going in the way of our own choosing. This means surrender. Another aspect of temptation is positive. Temptation also means test, and sometimes the Lord allows difficulties in our lives to test us, overcoming the tests and develops and advances our character. In an instance, we do not want to fail God. We need a help. We need a power outside of ourselves to resist and overcome. This portion of the prayer asks for help to be delivered from any snare that Satan may have for us. So how do you do that? Number one, recognize and admit that you are sinful and weak. Number two, the willful commission of sin. And where's my pointer here? I had a pointer. Somebody took my pointer. Who took my pointer? Who's behind me? Where? Oh, you put that behind me so I wouldn't even see it, huh? Okay, now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The willful commission of sin starts where, everybody? With the sinful thought. Therefore, we should not contemplate sin. When the sinful thought comes, we should expel it. Therefore, if there are sinful desires or thoughts, we should ask God to help us to get rid of them. Two things I want to say. Let me tell you. Number one, our minds are like birds' nest. Thoughts come that should not come. They fly around the nest, but we don't have to make them lay and make the nest. So when the thoughts come, expel it. And how do you expel it? Through prayer. You just say, Lord, take this thought from me. Lord, take that. That's not right. Take it from me. Take it from me. Number two. Let me tell you what really helps you to commit sin. Desire. Case in point. When Eve wandered to the tree, Satan was able to place in Eve a desire to be like God, to be higher than God. Look at me. You know why God doesn't want you to eat from the tree? Because he knows that the day that you eat of it, you're going to be like him. He placed in him and her desire. And that desire, and he lured her in that desire. So, desire. I must confess. I got another confession. I love potato chips. I love potato chips. But potato chips is not good for me. Saturated fat, salt, all that stuff, calories. And I'm telling you. I tried it. My wife, she knows I love it, so she buys it. and she puts it in the pantry. And for 2 or 3 days, I said, why did she buy that? And for 2 or 3 days, I opened the pantry looking for something, and the potato chips are in there, and it says, eat me. And I close the door. And that's good. That's good for 2 or 3 days. But then after that, boy, I yield. So you know what I told my wife? I told my wife a month. I said, baby, don't buy no more potato chips. I can't handle it. Because what's on the outside corresponds with what's in the inside. I desire that. And so what's on the outside just pulls what's already inside. That's why James says we sin by being pulled what's on inside. We are enticed by what's inside. So what has to happen now is that we should not contemplate sin. And when the sinful thought comes, we should expel it. And if there are sinful desires or thought, we should ask God to help us to get rid of them. We should ask God to guide us in the path of his choosing. Eve ended up in the wrong path, ended up on Satan's ground. We are now matched for space, Satan, especially when we are on his territory. We should ask God to help us to close every avenue by which the tempter may find access to us and for a spirit that is willing to be submitted to his leading. Eve should not have gone in that path. She became so self-confident, she said, I can handle this. That was her problem. The God told Adam and Eve that they should stay together. She separated. You read Patriarchs and Prophets. It says that Eve was wandered away from his side. And then when she found out that she was not with him, then she said, well, I can handle this. She wandered in a path that she should not. And we need to not wander in a path. If I was, I got a relative right now who is an alcoholic. And I'm trying to tell her, stay away from those situations. You can't handle it. If you have a problem with pornography, or if you have a problem with lust, or if you have a problem with alcohol, stay away from those things. You may think you can handle it. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something else that's going to take you straight to hell and you're in the church. Gossip. Stay away from them folks. I don't want to hear it. You know what? The Adventist Church got the fastest hotline in the country. You can hear something in New York and 3 minutes later it'll be in California. Am I telling the truth? Now, y'all don't want to say amen, but it's the truth. Question. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You're giving the example of the potato chips. Okay, but I want to bring something related to that. Okay. Let's say somebody has problem with sweets, and the person says, oh, I wish people in the church will not bring sweets. But my thinking is, the problem is not other people bringing the sweets. The problem is us
not being able to handle it.
So sometimes it's out of our hands. In your case, your wife can stop buying the chips, but in the church, not. So how do you deal with that?
The Bible says pray without ceasing. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm serious. If I have a problem, I send one up, sister. I send one up. I have a problem with appetite. You know what I do. I'm going to tell you what I do. I say a prayer before I start. I say a prayer while I'm eating. And then I say a prayer after I eat. I'm serious. Lord, I've had enough. Help me not to eat anymore. It helps. So if you're in a situation where you're in an environment that tempts you, you got to send one up. I promise you, God will give you strength. Do y'all believe that? God will give you what you need. I don't want it. God, help me. Let me go on very quickly so we can go on. So we don't venture on Satan's ground. Number four, ask for strength to meet whatever temptations come your way. And for help to pray, to pray unceasingly. When your mind is continuously connected, you are in a position to discern and meet the enemy in God's strength. Note, you cannot successfully defeat Satan without a daily living connection with Christ through your private devotions, which include Bible study and prayer. The Bible says, read it with me, everybody. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Watch this. Now, this is very important. Satan well knows that all who he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of scriptures will be overcome by his attacks. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. Amen. Yes, let me go on. Behold the great love of God. I'm skipping. Ask God, I'm skipping it down to number six. Ask God for hatred for sin, because I got to get you out of here. Ask God to help us to surrender totally to him. Let me tell you something about the surrender very quickly. This is very important. The one thing that God will not do, he will not take away the will. He's given us all the power of choice. He will not take away the power of choice. So therefore, what we have to do is say, Lord, help me to be willing to be willing. Am I making sense to you? I got a story with that, but I got to let you go. So ask the Lord to help you to surrender. Let me tell you the story. Little boy named Billy playing outside. Playing outside. His mother's washing dishes, and she looks through the window and sees little Billy playing out in the backyard. It starts to rain. She calls through the window, Billy, it's raining. You need to come inside. Little Billy says, I don't want to. She says, how come you don't want to?
I don't want to want to. He didn't want to want to.
So you know what I do? When I have a hard time surrendering the will, I say, God, I don't want to, but help me to want to. All right. Hey, Ray, makes sense to you? All right, let me go. All right. Character application, you do self-examination, you become humble, you expulse sin out of your lives. Let me go on. I'm going to go on. Last one. The last P, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. One of the purposes of prayer is to petition God's help in a variety of areas. And this last portion of the prayer expresses confidence that the prayer will be answered because of God's attributes of power and authority. This portion of the prayer comes right after the petition for help from the evil one. As long as sin exists, there will always be problems, trials, and tribulations. But we have to look beyond the problem to the problem solver. You have to know that God is the supreme ruler. He is in control. In spite of what happens, he has the final word. Not only that, he has the power to deal with anything that needs to be dealt with. It is with that thought that we end our prayer with confidence, with faith, knowing that God is going to work it out because he cares about us and he is able. We give him honor, adoration, praise, and thanks for what he is going to do and has already done. This also looks forward to the glorious return of Christ to this earth to reign in glory and power. Let me go on very quickly. How do you do that? Believe that what you have asked for will happen in his time and in his way, provided the conditions were met and the promises claimed. If you have problems believing, ask God, Lord, I believe. Help out my unbelief. Now, this is very important. I'm going to take a station break right here. This is very important. You have to mix your petitions with faith. With what, everybody? According to your faith, be it unto you. How many times do we pray and ask God for something and then doubt creeps in? You are rewarded according to your faith. So if your faith is weak, you pray this prayer, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Give me the faith. Oh, by the way, when I preached that sermon on Jacob on Friday, part of the thing that I'm going to tell you is that Jacob had faith. But when you read the spirit of prophecy, she says that God gave Jacob the faith that he needed. God will give you the faith that you need. What do you say, everybody? Thank him in advance for the answer petition. Trust him in trials, knowing that he's in control and is going to work everything out. Let me go on very quickly so that I can let you go here. Praise him. The Lord desires us to make mention of his goodness and tell of his power. He is honored by the expression of praise and thanksgiving. He says, whoso offers praise, glorify me. Look at what she says here. She says, to praise God in fullness and sincerity of heart is as much a what, everybody? It's a duty to praise God. Look here. We should conclude our prayer with what? And what else? Recount God's blessings to you. Both you and God will leave the session happy and uplifted. It will enhance your confidence in God and appreciation for him. It's interesting to note that the prayer begins and ends with confidence, faith, and praise. So what does it do? Number one, it develops faith and trust. Number two, it expulses murmuring and complaint. Look at this one. Look at this one right here. These exercises of praise, watch this, drive back the power of Satan. They expel the spirit of murmuring and complaint, and the tempter loses ground. They cultivate those attributes of character which will fit the dwellers on earth for the heavenly mansions. You want to get the devil away, just start praising God. Look here. Listen to this. Such a testimony of praise. You want to witness? Watch this. Such a testimony of praise will have an influence upon others. Watch this. No more effective means can be employed for winning souls to Christ. You want to win a soul for Christ? Start praising God. Huh? Wow. I'm going to skip on because I got to go. Oh, watch this. You receive more power and love when you start praising. Watch this. Shall all our devotional exercises consist in asking and receiving? Shall we be always thinking of our wants and never of the benefits we receive? Shall we be recipients of his mercies and never express our gratitude to God, never praise him for what he has done for us? We do not pray any too much, but we are too sparing of giving thanks. Watch this. If the loving kindness of God call forth more thanksgiving and praise, what would happen, everybody? Read it with me. Wow. Wow. We would abound more and more in the love of God and have more to bestow upon us for praise. Oh, look at this one. You who complain that God does not hear your prayers, what should you do, everybody? Change your present order and do what? Mingle praise with your petitions. When you consider his goodness and mercies, you will find that he will consider your wants. Have mercy. That's it. So now, as I conclude this, you have the synopsis. I gave you the synopsis. That's the handout. But now watch this. In conclusion, there are two parts to the prayer. There's God's needs and then our needs. We meet God's needs first, then we ask for our needs. When we start meeting his needs, we start with praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, and we end with thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. But here's the key to the last part. We thank him for answering the prayer before it's even answered. Ah. Lord, thank you for working this out. Lord, I know it's going to happen. Thank you. That's what faith comes in. And then we begin to praise him. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for loving us. We tried in these last couple of days to give some structure to the model that you left. I know that I was not able to cover everything, but I pray that what we have been able to discuss will be a help and a benefit. Help people to take these little bits of crumbs, turn them into loaves that feed them to help them to have a stronger prayer life for you. And Father, once again, we're looking forward to that time where prayer will be eliminated because we're able to see you face to face. I'm praying for everybody under the sound of my voice who will be in the earth made new because they prayed. Thank you to this end, and be with us as we go our separate ways now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish up Luke 11, and then I'm going to give you that sermon on Friday on Jacob, and then we will make sure you get your gift on Friday. Thank you so much. God bless you.